Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Jeffrey Dardy. I'm the Christian Whistleblower. Great to have you with us here today. It's the Fresh Daily Show, and we're talking about the dynamic duo. We may be able to finish this up today. Good information, so we definitely don't want to rush through anything. And we're talking today about the dynamic duo. We've been talking about it for a few shows. And I think that we're going to be able to go ahead and finish up this part of it today. And, of course, coming up in the next few shows, we're going to start looking at Genesis. I think that's a theme on the Deprogrammed Radio Network, and we want to be a part of that and talk about Genesis. Our own unique, I think, take on Genesis. So it's going to be very, very, I think, exciting. It's going to be very, very enlightening, and I think that it's going to be something that you're going to find very interesting. And as always, we want to talk about the Religion Watch Daily. That's at jeffreydardy.com, and you can find that there. It's a daily collection of not just – it's actually Unindoctrinate Daily now. Religion Watch Daily is the old name. It's Unindoctrinate Daily, so things from culture, politics, religion – and life, like for this one, I feel sorry for our folks over in the UK for this, because it seems like there's a super gonorrhea outbreak across the north of England that has sparked a national alert. Public Health England concerned about a drug-resistant strain first reported in Leeds, but which has spread to Macclesfield, Oldham, and Souththorpe, or Scunthorpe, I'm sorry. So if you're in those areas, make sure that you're protected. And of course, you know, there's a lot of things going on with sexual activity beyond super gonorrhea and other types of physical situations. I've long taught and long thought that we risk a lot of spiritual contamination and spiritual infection when we have sex with people, because, because there's such a great exchange and interaction of energetic essence when you have sex with someone, that really super gonorrhea, while it is definitely a large concern, you also should be very concerned about the spiritual implications of what you could be bringing into yourself, because there's some things that can hurt you a lot worse than gonorrhea, even super gonorrhea. I mean, the worst thing super gonorrhea could do, I guess, is kill you in this life, but you know, you're more than this life, you're more than this body. So that in mind. And the police have been girding for Temple Mount violence as unrest persists. Men under 40 were barred from the compound. PM tells UN's banned Palestinian rioters aim to break status quo. Rocks, firebombs thrown, and a bus was set on fire Thursday. I think this is one or two Thursdays ago. But, you know, Temple Mount Now here you have the focus of two of the Abrahamic religions, and really the focus of all three of the Abrahamic religions. It's interesting. I never really thought about this before, but you always think about the Temple Mount in terms of Judaism, of course, because it's allegedly the site where the last temple was constructed, and of course that's true. And there's a Wailing Wall there, which is comprised, I guess, of some of the old blocks of the temple that were, you know, put together into a wall there. And then, of course, the Mosque of Omar, if I'm not wrong, I think it's the third most holy site in Islam, the Dome of the Rock, it's colloquially called. It's actually the Mosque of Omar. It's the big golden dome you see there. Of course, that's very sacred to Islam. But you also have to remember that in hyper-evangelical, hyper-fundamental Christianity, the Temple Mount is also very, very central to their ideology, because they believe with all their hearts and are not even a little bit hesitant to admit this or even to take action, I believe, to bring it about. They believe that the Mosque of Omar, the Dome of the Rock, must be destroyed. They think that the temple must be rebuilt, and it has to be rebuilt on that site, and that the whole temple scenario will be started again. Temple worship, temple sacrifice, all of this stuff. So you've got the Temple Mount, the focus of all three Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, and it's a place of perpetual violence. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? The place that's maybe the only place on earth that is essential and is a central focus of all three of the Abrahamic faith. Think of that. I didn't even think about this when I sat down to do this broadcast, but think about this. The place, the one place that is a central focus of all three of the Abrahamic faiths, is a place of perpetual violence, bloodshed, and discord. Very, very interesting. I mean, I find that fascinating. I really do. And that's something that we should certainly consider, something that we should certainly think about. And I want to remind you that coming up in a couple of weeks on October 4th, I will be the guest of George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM. Looking forward to that, going back on Coast to Coast. And we'll be on for 2 full hours, and I'll be discussing my new book. The new book is called Final Message of the Last Apostle. And the book is about 400 pages, and it's about half and half. Final Message of the Last Apostle, the last message of the last apostle, which was the Apostle John. And he wrote about 40 years after everybody else was finished writing, including Paul. So he was the last apostle, and this was his final message. And he talked about an alien agenda in the New Testament. That's right. He talked about an ET UFO alien agenda in the New Testament. And this UFO ET alien agenda is exclusively surrounding the great events in the life of Jesus. Very, very fascinating. We'll be talking about that on Coast to Coast. And I think that's probably what we're going to focus on Coast to Coast, is the aliens in the New Testament. And I'm fine with that, because, you know, we can talk about just the scientific, the textual UFO, ET, alien imagery in the New Testament. And we don't have to touch upon the religious, you know, arguments and the religious implications of that. But the other half of the book is the religious implications of the alien agenda in the New Testament. Whether we go MUFON with it on Coast to Coast and just talk about the UFOs and stay away from the religious implications, which would make a fascinating show in its own right, or if Mr. Norrie wants to get into the religious applications, implications, we'll do that. But that's October the 4th, and I'm looking forward to being there, and looking forward to having all of you tune in. And then the next weekend, I will be at the Phantom Fest in San Antonio, Texas. I'll be speaking live there on Saturday. So if you're in the San Antonio, Texas area or want to be in that area, I'll be there the next weekend after October 4th for a live event. And we're going to, that's pretty much our official kickoff for the Unindoctrinate Yourself tour, because after that I'll be going to a lot of other places that we'll be announcing. So there you have it, Religion or Unindoctrinate Daily, Coast to Coast AM. And you can always be kept up to speed with my appearances at jeffreydarty.com or christianwhistleblower.com. That'll get you to the same place. So we've been talking about the dynamic duo, and we realize that the dynamic duo is, number one, recognizing the divinity in you, and number two, you recognizing the divinity in me. So we need to recognize the divinity in ourselves, and we need to recognize the divinity in other people. And that really is the essence of true spirituality. It's the true nature of the deep spiritual truth that Yeshua is showing us. And it shows us how when we accept the divinity in ourselves and reject the notion of original sin, when we accept the divinity in others and reject the notion of original sin in them, it really causes us to have a tremendous change of paradigm. That was a lot of what Yeshua was talking about. And he was saying, why are you always looking for the speck in your brother's eye? That's the opposite of looking for the divinity. And religion makes you a moat inspector or a speck inspector, looking for the issues and the problems in other people's lives. Whereas true religion of Yeshua has you become a spirit inspector. It has you become a divinity inspector. It has you become a spark inspector. Instead of looking for the problems in other people, you begin to look for the divinity in other people. You begin to notice the good things about people. And before you get to that point, you do it with yourself. Instead of noticing the bad things about you, instead of giving voice and place to all of the bad things that you've been taught are bad about you by Roman Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. And I need to make this statement. You know, for 20 years, I was a practitioner of Roman Protestantism. I was a hardcore, born-again, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian, and follow or do my very best to follow the teachings and precepts of Yeshua of Nazareth. I don't call him Jesus. I don't think that was his name. I think there was no J till the 17th century. I think that you don't translate proper names. And I think that when we say Jesus, it throws us into a religious matrix that really throws us into cognitive dissonance and makes it hard for us to think. So I always say Yeshua. And my life's goal is to follow the message and the teachings of Yeshua, the original message and teachings of Yeshua. So I'm not against people that say they're Christians. I am only here to let people know that the message that they have been taught under the guise of Christianity is in many ways different from the true message of Yeshua, the original message of Yeshua. And really, how surprising is that? All you have to do is take a look at the church today, and you know, when you look at the church, whether you're looking at the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church, you know it's not the way Yeshua wanted it to be. You know there's a lot of money stealing and money grubbing. You know there's a lot of immorality. You know there's a lot of sin. You know there's a lot of judgment. You know that it's not what Yeshua wanted it to be. So how difficult, or why is it so difficult for you to believe that the church that is today, that is so far off from what Yeshua wanted it to be, that maybe the reason why it's so far off is because its teachings and its foundations are so far off of the teachings and foundations of the original Yeshua movement? Now that's what part of what we're learning here in the dynamic duo is talking about, that we're talking about a different foundation for Roman Protestantism and Roman Catholicism than the foundation for the Yeshua movement. Now, Yeshua said that he did not come to destroy the law, but that he came to fulfill it. Matthew 5:17, this is one of those verses that is grossly distorted by the King James Version, and it's grossly distorted for a reason, and the gross distortion has caused us really to miss, it's caused us to miss a tremendous teaching. The King James Diversion says, King James Version, I call it the King James Diversion because that's really more accurate as to what it is. And think about it. It was the government. I mean, we're so bred to believe in the separation of church and state, and rightly so. We should always have the separation of church and state. And when you believe in the separation of church and state, how can you then not question the state, King James, translating the church, the Bible? Come on, folks. If you believe in the separation of church and state, how can you accept the King James Version without question? Wow. But anyway, the King James Diversion says, it quotes Yeshua as saying, "Do not think I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." What Yeshua actually said, when we render it straight from the Greek to the English, is, "Do not think that I have come only to unharness the beasts of burden and pack animals." Is that really what it says, Jeff? That's really what it says. "Do not think that I have come only to unharness the beasts of burden and the pack animals. Do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. Do not think that I've come only to unharness the beasts of burden and the pack animals." Listen to the last show to get the full import of that. "But I've also come," Yeshua said, "to show individual fulfillment." So really, he's making a statement in reference to the law, but it has nothing to do with the law, his statement. His statement takes it beyond the law, takes it beyond the legalistic interpretations of law, takes it beyond the realm of religion, and propels us into the realm of spirituality. "Don't think I've come only to unharness the beasts of burden and pack animals." We're the beasts of burden. We're the pack animals, and the law and prophets are the burdens of the beasts, which are us, and are the load of the pack animals, which are us. "Don't think that I've only come to get rid of the burdens," which he said he's done, "but I've also come to show individual fulfillment." So not only is he taking burden off of you, not only is he giving you a way that's taken off your heavy laden and giving you a way of rest, he's also showing you individual fulfillment. Folks, you have to unlearn error. Now, I've looked at every single verse in the New Testament that mentions the law. Have you? Well, if you haven't, then you need to hush and get back to me when you have. If you're telling me that my interpretation of this is wrong, and I'm not interpreting it, I'm just reading it in the original Greek, and I've looked at every single verse in the New Testament that mentions law. If you haven't, hush until you do. When you have, then get back to me. Until then, it's just yap, yap, yap. I'm not even going to listen to you. Let me help you out, and I will address the verses that are not just pure dung. Matthew 12:7-12. This is what the law and prophets were trying to say. Matthew 11:13, the law and the prophets set forth the manner of divine teaching up until the time of John the Baptist. What changed when John the Baptist came? Think about that. What changed when John the Baptist came along? Well, when John the Baptist came along, forgiveness via repentance and water baptism was instituted, and the end of blood sacrifice was instituted. What was the law and prophets built upon? Sacrifice. John and Yeshua removed the foundation of blood sacrifice Blood sacrifice is what the Law and Prophets was built upon. So John and Yeshua tore down the Law and the Prophets. Do I really even need to comment on that? Mark didn't even mention the Law. The whole Gospel of Mark didn't even mention the Law. 25% of the Gospels ignore the Law. Luke 16 and 16, the Law and Prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the Gospel of the Kingdom of God has been preached. Do you hear that? Luke says, the Law and the Prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the Gospel of the Kingdom of God has been preached. The Kingdom of Heaven in you. John said in John 1:17, for the Law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's King James Version. That verse actually says, Law was given by the man Moses. Favor, blessing, and divine truth came through Yeshua. And here's the perfect example. In John chapter 8, Yeshua is kind of, you know, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they bring to him a woman that was taken in adultery. She was caught in the very act of doing the nasty with a guy that wasn't her husband. The implication is that she was also married, and it was a married woman having sex with a married man, and they weren't married to one another. The Law very clearly, without any doubt, said she must be stoned. No doubt. Yeshua said, he who has not sinned, let him throw the first stone. Of course, they all walked away. Nobody stoned her. But here's the thing that you've always missed, and I'm about to blow your mind with this. And you're yelling and you're screaming at me and you're calling me a false apostle and all that other stuff. But there was somebody there that was qualified to throw the first stone. There was somebody there that was free from sin. His name was Yeshua. Yeshua was qualified to throw the first stone. Yeshua had no sin. Mr. Religious guy that wants to condemn me, why didn't Yeshua throw the stone? Not only was he qualified, the Law mandated that he do it. So if Yeshua came to uphold the Law completely, the Law said that if you don't have sin, you should stone that woman. Yeshua had to stone her. He didn't. Why? Because the Kingdom of God had come, the Law and the Prophets had passed away, and the King James Version has misled you all these years. The Law and the Prophets did come to an end. Yeshua did come to end the Law and Prophets and bring the Kingdom of God. It's just that simple. It's just that. I want you to read John chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. I'm not going to do it. That's your homework. Yeshua says that his teaching was making men divine. And he showed them that even the Law said that we are gods. It was Psalm 82:6 that Yeshua was referring to. And you can clearly see that Yeshua was teaching the divinity inside all of us. And then, just like now, the religious people hate it. I get blasted constantly by these apologists and these theologians and these pastors and these evangelists, the ones that most of them just say, I'm ugly, my mom dresses me funny. They go with ad hominem attacks and won't even use scripture. Those that do use scripture get very mad at me for saying that there's divinity inside us and not original sin inside of us. And they get very, very upset with me. And they hate the idea that we have divinity within us, not sin. And think of why they hate it. Think of why they hate it so. This is what the true apostles of Yeshua had to say about the Law. So successful was Yeshua in removing the concept of the Law's validity that Paul was forced to adopt the idea. Paul had to deal with it. He twisted it to say that if you want to be free, you must align with me. Here's how modern Christianity deals with the law. Do we have time to go through this? Boy, we're kind of right up against it. But this is how modern Christianity deals with the law. They say, if you want to be free, you have to go through me. If you want to be free, you have to agree with me. If you want to be free, you have to align with me. If you want to be free, you have to do what I say. But Yeshua removed all of that. And so effective was he in removing the law's validity that Paul had to bring the idea back in to Roman Catholicism and Roman Christianity. Again, folks, you have to understand exactly what Yeshua said. The King James Version says, don't think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And there's a million and one preachers saying, Jesus did not come to abolish the law of the prophets. Jesus came to fulfill them. Jesus did, but Yeshua didn't. Jesus is a fake character created by Paul as a dancing bear, cardboard cutout, justification for Roman Catholicism and Roman Protestantism. Yeshua said, I have come, don't think I've come only to unharness the beasts of burdens and pack animals. It's like he said, don't think I've only come to abolish the law and the prophets. He didn't so much abolish them as they were finished. Their effectiveness, their usefulness was gone, just like Luke said, up until the time of John, the law and the prophets reigned. But after that comes the kingdom of God. Why? Because sacrifice was done away with. The law and prophets are dependent upon and built upon and circling around blood sacrifice. And this isn't dirty. This is gospel. And Yeshua said, not only have I come to unharness the beast that burns the pack animals, but to show individual fulfillment. And as soon as you look up every verse in the New Testament that mentions law, come talk to me about it. But until then, don't bother. The law and prophets were trying to show us the way to true spirituality that Yeshua was going to bring us. That's why the law and the prophets set forth the manner of divine teaching up until the time of John the Baptist. They were getting us ready. What changed when John the Baptist came? Forgiveness by water baptism and the end of sacrifice. The law and prophets were built on sacrifice. John and Jesus tore down sacrifice. John and Jesus, according to the testimony of Luke, ended the law and the prophets. Luke says in Luke 16:16, the law and prophets were proclaimed until John, but since that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. The law was given through Moses. Blessing and divine truth come through Yeshua. And that Christianity wants to keep you in the law because they can use the law to keep you under control. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, for heaven's sake, unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. And on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.